together two passages in the New Testament. And the first one is in Paul's letter to the Colossians, and reading there in chapter 3, and from verse 1 to verse 17. And then just a few verses in Galatians chapter 5. First of all then, in Paul's letter to the Colossians, in chapter 3 and at verse 1, where we read, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When God, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self, which is being with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And then just a few verses in Galatians in chapter 5 and at verse 22. Galatians 5 at verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Amen. It's in the spirit of that last hymn that I would like us to look at Galatians chapter 5 and read again verses 22 to 25, where we read there that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And what I would like us to think about particularly is the character of the Christian. The character of the Christian. A good part of my ministry was spent overseas in South Africa, where we worked with a Xhosa-speaking church in the eastern province of that country. And one day I was visiting a large rural village that I knew very well. It was set up on among the hills and built mainly on the side of a hill. I was visiting the church evangelist who lived there, and I had to leave my truck a long way from his house, and as I was walking along the track to his house, a little boy up on the hillside saw me, and he began to shout and to run among the huts that were up there, Umrungwelalim, there's a white man in the village. It was a big surprise to him, although I'd often been in that place, but he obviously didn't know me. And he was surprised to see a stranger, especially a white man, in the village. But it had happened a generation or two generations ago that somebody had seen a stranger in the village. It would have been really something worth taking note of. And that stranger would have been stopped. And he would have had three questions asked of him. The first one, who are you? The second one, where have you come from? And the third one, where are you going? Because in these three questions, a great deal of information would be found. The man's name would betray the tribe from which he came. Where did he come from? Was it a friendly place? Where is he going? Is it a friendly place? And if he's going there, what does it mean for us? It was very important, especially, to know who he was. What is your name? And if somebody asks you, who are you? You would tell them your name. But thinking in terms of who you are inside, as it were, what would it be? Are you a Christian? And if you're a Christian, what is your character? That's very important. Very important indeed. Now the Bible tells us a great deal about God. And that's important for us to know. The Bible speaks to us about God the Father. It speaks to us about God the Son. It speaks to us about God the Holy Spirit. We are used to reading these words and speaking about the Trinity, the three persons in one God, each equal in power and in glory. And all of that information is important for us because God tells us who He is. He tells us what He is like. And that's important for us to know if we're going to trust Him, to know who He is. And each of the persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit, each one has a different role to play. The Father does certain things, the Son does certain things, the Holy Spirit does certain things. And I want us to think particularly about one of the roles the Holy Spirit plays in your life and in my life in developing our character. Because, as I say, character is tremendously important. The character of God is important if we're knowing that we can trust Him. And our character is important if we claim to be Christians. And someone has said that character is the only thing that we will take with us from this world to the next world. It's important. And if we claim to be Christians, to know God in Christ, then we must reflect the likeness of God in Christ. God's character, I think, can be summed up in three great words: holy, just, and good. He is perfect in every way. But what does that look like in a person? Well, for that, we need to look at Jesus. When Jesus came into this world and walked this earth, He was a man, and He lived a life similar to the life that we live in many ways, also at a different time in history. But in Christ, we see perfectly the likeness of God. As we read in Paul's letter to the Colossians, "For in Him all the likeness of God was pleased to dwell." And now, one of the great works of the Holy Spirit is to cultivate that Christ-likeness in you and me, if we are indeed Christian people, so that it will become obvious who we are, Christians first in every way. Now, cultivation is an ongoing thing. I don't know if any of you grow tomato plants in the greenhouse at home. I've never been very successful in growing tomatoes. But this year I've tried once again, and I've got one tomato plant growing. And when I planted it in the pot, I left the label that came from the garden center. And that label shows a beautiful cluster of red tomatoes, and I look at what I've got. There's four pili-wali looking tomatoes on my plant. And one here. Can't really call that a cluster. Cultivation is important, and I don't seem to have it as far as tomatoes are concerned. But the Holy Spirit is skilled at cultivating a Christ-like character within us. And he does it, I think, in the following ways. First of all, he wants us to walk with him. And he will help us, if we do that, he will help us to have victory over the temptations that often cause us to fall into sin. Remember, I'm speaking to Christians this morning, and Christians can fall into sin. Sadly, that becomes very obvious when we see figures in the public arena who profess to be Christians and then they give way to some temptation or another, and their fall is very public, and it's always very sad. In this chapter 5 of Galatians, Paul speaks to us in verses 16 and 17 in this way. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other." The Spirit helps us to walk with him. Remember earlier on I was speaking about the sheep following the voice of the shepherd. They know his voice. And if we are Christian people, we know the voice of Christ telling us to walk. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us to walk with him, because if not, and we give way to the temptations, you'll see that these temptations which are listed here in Galatians 5 are so destructive of a character. And Paul shows us these in their stark ugliness. He says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit," and so on. And then he says, "The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envies, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. These," he says, "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." They're all terribly destructive. And friends, we need the help of the Spirit in order to avoid these temptations falling into them. So, says Paul here, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to help us to do this very thing. Another great work the Holy Spirit does for us in developing and cultivating our Christian character is praying for us. The Holy Spirit prays for us, and he helps us to pray. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verses 26 and 27, The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us. He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He intercedes for the saints, says Paul, that is for the Christians, according to the will of God. So he guides us all the time towards following in the ways that are pleasing to God. And he helps us to pray about these things ourselves. And he helps us to pray honestly. And I think this is one of the great benefits of staying close to the Spirit. He helps us to pray honestly, naming the sins that can so easily beset us. Sins that one person may not have anything to do with at all, and yet other people are tempted by them. And the Spirit helps us if we pray honestly, openly before God. This, God, is what I need your help for. And then when we confess in that way, he will strengthen us. For you know, the devil is seeking to trip us up, and he can do it so easily. We need the Spirit's help. The sins are like those parts of the tomato plant that you've got to excise, to cut away, if there's going to be growth. We need the Spirit's help to get rid of these things in our lives and to strengthen our character. God speaks a lot about cultivation. Jesus spoke about it in the Gospels, and it involved pruning to get rid of the things that are harmful, the things that are not pleasing to him. And a third way that the Holy Spirit develops Christian character within us is by showing us. He shows us the things to leave and get rid of, but he shows us now the things that go to make up the character that is pleasing to God. What Paul here in these verses calls the fruit of the Spirit. Now when you look at these things and mull over the kind of life that they describe, I'm sure that like myself, you think, well, I am a Christian, but I've still got a long way to go. I've got a long way to go to become Christ-like. But thank God, that is why he has given us the Spirit, to help us develop and cultivate this character. And we certainly need his help. For you see here that he speaks about the fruit, not about the fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit. So you can't just say, and I can't just say, well, I better be a bit more loving than I was before, or I better be kinder than I was before. This is a complete package that we must develop. This is, as it were, the real tomatoes that you see in the illustration. And it is what God wants us to be like. You, me, and every Christian. Now the list of things which Paul mentions here in verses 22 and following go to form a character that is the very opposite of the kind of person who does not know God, who does not live for God or acknowledge Jesus Christ in his life. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul tells the Christians, set your minds on things that are above. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And again in Philippians, he urges us to think about these things, the very things that Paul mentions here in Galatians 5. Think about these things. And you will find that these are the things which develop your Christian character. They will produce holy and pure thoughts, words, and actions. So what are these things that we find? Well, the list of them here in Galatians 5, at verse 22 and onwards, they are peculiarly Christian words. And many of these words describe characteristics that run completely contrary to what is in the world. And especially in the day in which Paul wrote, a lot of these words were counted as rubbish by non-Christian people. Take the first one that he mentions here, love, agape love, a peculiarly Christian word. And it is a word that one commentator has said is built on twin pillars of love of God and love of man. A quality that we don't have naturally. It's a mark of the Spirit in us. And without it, as Paul says in the passage we read in Colossians, if you don't have love, all the rest falls apart. And he goes on to speak about joy and peace. And again, these are directed to what Jesus himself has done for us in his life and by his death. And it's only in him and by his Spirit that we can know what Jesus says in John 14, my joy, which he left with his disciples, my peace, which he left with them. These are words that belong to our salvation in Christ. They're words that belong to the freedom that we have, with sins forgiven, eternity secured, guilt taken away, and given a right attitude to the things of the world. And there's patience, which is a great challenge for us very often. But again, it is a virtue that was despised in the world in which Paul wrote. It was not considered a virtue, but a vice, a weakness. But if we're ever tempted to be impatient people, just remember how God has dealt with you and me. Did you respond to the gospel the first time you heard it? He was patient with us until we came by his grace to him. So it's a characteristic of God that must be cultivated within us. Kindness and goodness are mentioned here, two words that explain themselves, and there is an emphasis, especially in the word that's translated goodness, that is given to someone who deserves nothing. We deserve nothing from God, but He was good to us. And let us be good people in that sense too. It's generous. And faithfulness. You know, if love is the foundational characteristic in the Christian's life, faithfulness must be something that is obvious in the Christian's life. Integrity, keeping on loving God, the faithfulness of God to us is something that we must emulate in our faithfulness to Him. It should be like a flag that we can wave in the world, because the world so often tries to knock us down, to tempt us to lower our standards, to tempt us to give up following. But it's a proof of the reality of your faith in Jesus Christ that we keep going on with Him in integrity and in truth, following our faithful Savior, as He is called in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, the faithful witness. And there's gentleness, which is a lovely word. It's not weakness, it is strength that is bridled to do good. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." But meekness has a core of strength, and it is a spiritual gift, a gift of the Spirit. And finally, Paul mentions self-control. And again, that's a tremendous challenge when we meet this word and when we live in the world. It, of course, has reference to our morality, sexual morality especially, but it is more than mere actions. It affects the mind, our whole thinking. It concerns our thoughts, as Paul mentions them in Colossians and in Philippians. We have to think of things above, not on things of the earth. And so he gives us this sketch of a Christian's character. And when I think of it, I keep thinking of the African in the village. Who are you? A Christian. Yes, but is your Christian character in keeping with that name? I keep thinking of the tomato plants that I have, rather than the ones that are on the label. Am I like the puny ones on my plant? Should I not be like those on the label? Do I look a poor specimen? We do fall short. Each one of us does. But the great thing is this, that God, the Holy Spirit, is with us. And He is urging us to walk with Him, to keep in step with Him, because He leads us in the footsteps of Jesus. And when we keep in Jesus' footsteps, we will not go wrong. We will follow God's way, and we will have a character that reflects the Lord whom we profess. May God bless each of us so to do. Amen. We thank you, O God, for who you are, and we pray that you will help each one of us to become more like you daily, to be more like Christ, the great God-man, who came to live among us, to show us what God is like and what you want us to be like ourselves. We need your help, O Lord, and we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to be our help, to be our guide, and to keep our feet following in the footsteps of Jesus. We thank you and we bless you for the work of the Holy Spirit in us and for us. Amen.